Strangely, up until the last century, almost all Christians believed and taught that animals had souls. And there's a reason for that, because there is a word that is translated, and it's that word that for living being that is used of both human beings and animals. And nephesh is that Hebrew word that is used for soul. Well, there are a number of Old Testament passages that speaks of God preserving, for instance, related to the flood, all living creatures or living beings, and it includes human beings and animals together. However, it's very important that we emphasize that no matter how you put it and what terminology you use, animals are not created in the image of God. People are created in the image of God. People are in every sense superior to, more valuable than animals. No biblical debate on that point. The question is, do animals have something about them that might survive this earth? Now, I personally think, and you can get into the passages in Ecclesiastes and some other things, but I personally don't anticipate that there are animals in the intermediate state. However, you do have the horses in the chariots when Elijah goes into heaven. Okay? You have the horses coming out of heaven, coming down to the earth. If there are horses, would that not open the door to there being other animals? Once you have one animal, is there any reason fundamentally why there could not be other animals? But even apart from that issue, I think the strong biblical case can be made for animals on the new earth. And let me show you one passage, just one, that does that in Romans 8. We looked at it before, but let me make a comment on it that I think will hopefully make sense. Romans 8, picking up in verse 19, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, what it's talking about is that creation will experience a liberation and a freedom, and in its context, indeed, an ultimate resurrection, based upon the resurrection of the children of God who set the pace for all of creation. Again, creation falls on man and woman's coattails, and creation rises on man and woman's coattails. And the question is, does the creation that's spoken of here include the animal world? Well, I would say it not only includes the animal world, they're the most obvious ones that it's talking about, because who suffers more besides people than animals? I mean, now a lot of us are in the Pacific Northwest, where a lot of people believe that trees suffer terribly, and our cousin the starfish, and a lot of other things. But that, I guess, the starfish is an animal, so it qualifies. But I mean, but nonetheless, you would have to say that it's not talking about, when it says the whole creation, it's not simply talking about people, because it's saying the whole creation, meaning the rest of creation, that anticipates what's going to come in the resurrection of God's people. And then the question I would ask here, it says, will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth. The whole rest of creation, it's not just us that are groaning, the rest of creation. Well, who in the rest of creation groans more waiting for deliverance than animals who have the capacity, higher animals especially, who have the capacity to suffer? Now, think of it in these terms. This passage, which we could develop more, but we'll take the time to do it, because we're almost out of time here, but this passage, I think, is clearly indicating that just as human beings who now suffer will be delivered from that suffering, the actual same human beings who suffered will be delivered, it's using that in parallel to some of the same of the rest of creation that suffered that will be delivered. I don't think that the creation, for instance, animals are groaning, longing for a day when new animals will be created, but longing for when they will experience no more suffering. They will experience a time where in the new earth, in the resurrected state, they will experience what God intended, and indeed God promises that in Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65 when he says the wolf and the lamb will lie down together and the lion will eat straw like an ox and will no longer be a predator living upon other animals and human beings. So my bottom line with that is that I do think that there will be animals on the new earth. Whether God creates them brand new, whether God in some sense, and I am not going to use the term resurrection because it's going to confuse, but in some sense would take of the old and refashion them into the new, just as he seems to be doing with the rest of creation, following the example of what he will do with human beings, to take what the actual atoms and molecules or DNA or whatever and pull them together in this new creation.